our theme today, Tech Tuesday. We've had a lot of discussions around this, looking at the comparisons between ChatGPT and DeepSeek. So months after DeepSeek's debut, China's generative AI firms are still racing with literally unabated fervor. Clear proof that the competition in the sector is still dynamic. Innovation, potential, well, it's literally endless. So yesterday, Beijing-based Zifu AI, they unveiled their GLM 4.5, an AI platform that natively fuses reasoning, coding, and agent capabilities. Now, let's bring it back home to South Africa, and let's look at how many South Africans have perhaps opted for DeepSeek, have started doing comparisons between ChatGPT and DeepSeek, etc. So, online we've got tech expert Andrew Johnson, a partner at Verdant Data. Andrew, good afternoon.
Yes, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Nice to be with you.
Good to have you on. How popular is DeepSeek in South Africa?
I think it's still early stages of awareness in the South African market. I mean, obviously, DeepSeek represents an advanced multilingual large language model. And I think its potential is dramatic, right? So we've seen this, obviously, with what's going on in the States. You chatted briefly about ChatGPT and how, you know, just 3 years ago, sort of that spread across the world like wildfire. And I think, you know, there was quite an interesting moment in time earlier this year when DeepSeek sort of made, obviously, all of that code open source so that people could have access. And I think really it's very early days, but the opportunity for, you know, enabling faster, more accurate sort of automation and decision-making, for radical sort of economic efficiency and improvements, and obviously, you know, digital transformation across industries is huge. So it really is early days, I think, here, but the opportunity is there, and certainly it seems that globally people are acting on it fast.
Perhaps it's maybe premature or too early days. Can we go there yet, Andrew, and ask, like, economic benefits? What can it offer South Africa? What can it bring to the party for us?
Yeah, I think it's early, but I think, you know, globally you're seeing some early indicators of what's possible. I think, obviously, from a South African context, you know, efficiency within businesses and output can be dramatically increased. I think, you know, what's needed probably is some sort of development in the talent pool to be able to understand and roll out these tools. Obviously, it's a very new thing. I mean, there's no really established organizational setup to train people on how to build these tools and how to roll them out. It's all very, very new. So I think, as you mentioned, it is new, but I think, you know, really if we can start to take some steps in that direction, you know, setting up the right infrastructure, regulations which encourage sort of, you know, and talent to go in that direction. I mean, it really is, I think, going to be a massive catalyst for change. I mean, if I think about big waves in the last 50 years, I'd say, you know, the internet was one, and I think the advent of AI and what's possible there certainly would be the next one in my view. So it's early to say, but I think very widespread benefit. And I think, you know, adoption and understanding will position the country probably as a gateway into Africa to use the tools. And so I think there's a lot of incentive in order to be on the front runner in that regard.
You know, I must be honest, Andrew, I lived many years in China, training in martial arts at the Shaolin Temple, and now furthering my studies in Chinese medicine through one of the universities in southwest China. And I was not aware of DeepSeek, to be very honest. And the app was brought to my attention by my grade 11, 17-year-old son. And he's obviously been using ChatGPT for a while. I'd also been using it for a while. And then he brought it to my attention and he said, go and check it out. Free to download. Here's the platform. Check it out and then just compete. A couple of months down the line, this is from my personal perspective. I've certainly found it from my perspective and how I use the app. I find it to be very interactive. I find it from a technical perspective to be more interactive as opposed to ChatGPT. But this is my experience. I cannot speak on behalf of everyone else. But then my son was telling me about, because he's Gen Z, and he was talking to me about a whole lot of his friends that have also started downloading the app. So perhaps an indication that ChatGPT, or in this case maybe DeepSeek, could also appeal to our current Gen Z in South Africa, because it has massive appeal in China. I've seen it in March when I was there.
Yeah, very interesting. I think seeing how youngsters are so quick to adopt and interact with it is always fascinating. Mm. And I think I saw some interesting stats just around the adoption on sort of older demographics being much, much less. So it really is sort of the language of the young, and you know, not scared to play around and sort of dabble with these new tools. And I really think that is the trick, is just to be inquisitive and to continuously try out and try and learn from these tools, because the rate of change is so crazy. It's almost impossible to keep up unless it's your primary sort of business, if you like. But I think it has, you know, beneficial applications across the board in terms of different industries and applications. So it really is a case of, can be, you know, your best friend, your confidant, your sort of, you know, co-founder, if you like, just the depth of knowledge. I mean, in terms of, you know, the difference between the two, I mean, obviously one being American-based and driven, and one being Chinese, I think does come with it with interesting dynamics in terms of, obviously, you know, kind of capitalist versus communist approach, and obviously the one being open source versus the other, you know, and obviously the kind of the revolution that ChatGPT's gone through, being, you know, set up initially as a, you know, for good, and a, let's call it a, I don't know if it was charitable, but at least non-for-profit, I think is the term, and now that's obviously all changed, and it's valued at billions of dollars. So I think it's very interesting watching the dynamics within those organizations unfold, as well as obviously the tools and the business model which they adopt, which obviously for DeepSeek is open.
In a minute, the future, it's a bit premature, but the future for DeepSeek in terms of the access that it may provide for, and platforms provide for our government, provide for our organizations and businesses. What do you think?
Sorry, repeat that. I lost you at the end there.
So the opportunities that DeepSeek could possibly offer our organizations, government, local, provincial, national, and I think probably just businesses in general in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think maybe to give some kind of practical applications in some sectors, I mean, from an education perspective, I think, you know, it could be sort of, you know, personalized learning support, administrative task, you know, automation, you know, huge time-saving elements there. And I think, you know, if we can fix an education, you know, that really impacts a lot of things across the board. You know, from a financial services perspective, you know, automation, from a compliance perspective, fraud detection, risk modeling, all of these kind of, you know, let's call it data-driven applications, where you can have, you know, significantly large amounts of data consumed and provide, you know, very quick, insightful feedback, which is obviously data-driven, is extremely valuable. And I think, you know, there's a whole bunch of other technologies, of course, which go hand in hand with us, sort of, you know, such as process mining, for example, where, you know, you're looking back on business data, right? So you're looking at the last 3 years of business data, and you're looking at a particular process, and you're saying, you know, what is the most effective way that this process should be run? And then you're kind of identifying the most effective process, and then you can implement the correct business activities in order to make that the most effective run process. And that is across industry. So healthcare, retail, public sector, you know, any kind of service to a particular individual or customer can be improved, right? So an internal process obviously affecting the customer.
Andrew, we're going to have to leave it on that note, unfortunately. Andrew Johnson, partner at Vidant Data, thanks so much for your time.
Great. Lovely to chat. Go well. Thank you.